So this morning, as I often like to do, we're going to have a bit of fun to start with. You guys like having fun sometimes here? Good. And because you lot are all very, very highly educated and you're all very highly cultured people here at Quina Life, together we're going to do some Latin. Is that okay? Can we do some Latin? You guys do Latin at school, right? No, some of you did Latin. Yes, yeah, there's got to be a couple. There's got to be a couple who did Latin at school. So we need to do some Latin. Okay, so do you remember anything from Latin at school? No, nothing at all. Okay, that's fine. Well, let's do a Latin test and see how we go. Shall we do this one? Okay, so first Latin phrase. Here we go. It is veni, vidi, vici. What does that one mean? Who can translate that one? Oh, that's an easy one, isn't it? No, I started with an easy one. Oh dear. I came, I saw, I conquered. That's Julius Caesar riding to the Roman Senate. He went to war, right? And he like crushed them. And so he just sent, it wasn't a telegram, but you can imagine, you know, I came, I saw, I conquered. Anyway, that's very good. We're off to a great start. How about this one? What's that one? Yeah, morning and afternoon. Very good. We got that one. It's actually before midday and after midday. AM, PM. That's where we got AM, PM from, right? You guys know that, don't you? Excellent. We're going well. Okay, here's another one. This is my favorite one, this one. Carpe Canem. You know what that one is? Is it what? Yeah. This one is Beware the Dog. And this inscription was found in Pompeii. Outside someone's property thing that inscripted on the side of their house, Beware the Dog, is like the world's first Beware the Dog sign. That's funny. Carpe Canem, that's a good one. So if you're ever walking down the street and there's like your door knocking for whatever reason and there's a sign there that says Carpe Canem, not a good idea. Anyway, here's another one. Carthago Delena Est. This is a good one. This is obviously in the middle of where the Romans were having trouble. Thank you, Richie. So this one's actually Carthage must be destroyed. And this is yes, the Romans had some trouble with Carthage, and so they actually and they lost a war to the Carthaginians. Sure. And there was a message sent to the Senate saying Carthage must be destroyed. I'm going to skip to a couple more. This one, cognito ergo sum. If we can jump to that one. René Descartes. I think, therefore I am. Thank you, Nat. You are very highly educated and very highly cultured here in this place. So that was a philosopher, very famous guy. This one you might have heard before. Errare humanum est, which is to err is human. So you've heard that one before. And finally, Imago Dei. This is where we're leading to. The image of God. Very good. And the image of God is the one I want to talk about. Even though Carpe Canem is actually a really great like Latin phrase, let's go with the image of God. Because it's a huge theme in the Bible. Not so much Carpe Canem. This is a big doctrine in Christianity. And so as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, people who read the Bible, it's important we have a good understanding of what this means, this image of God. So where should we start when we're looking at Christian stuff? I'd like to suggest we should start with the Bible, if you've got one of those. They're really good. So we're going to go to Genesis 1, and we're going to read a bit, and we're going to read from verse 26. And so Genesis 1 from 36, it's 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and it was morning, the sixth day. So, that's cool. That's great stuff. What do we need to do first when coming to the Bible? We think about the context it's written in. Where is this? This is, you know, in the creation account. And it's the final day of God's creative work. And up until this point, God has been very busy, you know what I mean? He's been creating the heavens and the earth, forming it and filling it with plants and animals, and ordering everything in a way God described it is good. But now, as we reach the climax of this creation account, where God is about to bring forth his best work, and God saves the best to last. I have an interest in technology. I don't mind things that go beep and bloop and not so much the things like that door which makes funny noises. But Tuesday this week coming up, Apple are going to have one of their famous product launches. So what they do, when they've got a few products they want to announce, they actually get a whole bunch of people together in a massive building and they talk about all the shiny new things that they're going to release in the next few months, and they make it all very exciting and all that kind of stuff. And this week it sounds like, you know, they'll be releasing a new iPhone, the iPhone 13, and a new Apple Watch. So if you're into those sort of things, you know, on Tuesday this week there'll be an event and they'll announce it all. If you're an Android person, you won't care, but that's fine. And something that Steve Jobs would often do, who was the founder of Apple, he would have these great big product launches like this, like an Apple event. And he would stand up the front and he would demonstrate all the new technology that's coming out and all that kind of stuff. And people would go, that's great, all that kind of stuff. And then he would pretend to wrap up the whole day and say, okay, that's all the things that I've got to share with you today. Thanks, everyone, and have a lovely day. And then he would say, one more thing. And then he would launch into some brand new product, some crazy new idea that no one had thought of before. And everyone would go, whoa, because, you know, this is something they never in, you know, he saved like the best till last, if you know what I mean. He pretended that he was closing down the event, and then he would say one more thing. And then the greatest new thing, he would say, oh, and this is what we're doing. He was pretty cool at that big reveal. And it seems to me that the author of Genesis was doing one more thing before it was cool. You know what I mean? Already on the sixth day, verse 24 tells us that God had created the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And so that kind of completes the creation. If you think about what happened before then, God created light, and he filled the heavens with the sun, moon, and stars. Then he created the sky and the sea and filled them with the birds and the fish. And then he created the land, and he got the animals to populate it. So it's all there, you know, it's all complete. But then God says one more thing, and he creates humans. The big reveal, the pinnacle of his creation. And once humans are created, he says for the very first time in the whole Bible that what he created was very good. The humans have a unique place in this created order. And verse 27 says that humans are created in the image and the likeness of God. So what does that mean? You know what I mean? Does this mean we can use the term Imago Dei to talk about us? Does it mean that God looks like me? You know, does he have scruffy hair and a wonky smile and a beard that refuses to grow? Does it mean that God has, you know, two arms and two legs and a scruffy, scrawny body like mine? No, that's not what it means to be in the image of God. There's a whole bunch of things that people point to when they talk about what it means to be in the image of God, how people are in a different category to the rest of creation. You know, people have the ability to reason. We have the ability to have deep personal relationships with others. We appreciate art and beauty unlike the rest of creation. And when we are at our best, you know, we do things which have no benefit for ourselves but only benefit other people. And all these things put us into a different category when it comes to the rest of creation. But here in Genesis, in the verses that we read, it doesn't talk about those things when it talks about what is special about humans. It actually talks about ruling. In the Bible, you know, God is king over all. He is sovereign. He is the ultimate authority. And here in Genesis 1, you know, humans are made as like little rulers over the rest of the created order. It's kind of like God has delegated some of the responsibilities of the creation to us. And verse 28 says, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves over the ground." And how does God want us to subdue the earth and rule over it? Genesis 2:15 says, you know, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. God tells people to work the land, take care of the land. People are created in the image of God so that we can rule over the creation in a good way, like God rules over the creation in a good way. God created a good, ordered world, and as his lieutenants, we are to rule over the creation, bringing order from chaos and creating more life and growth and prosperity, all those sorts of things. And I think it's really very interesting that Genesis is very clear to point out that each person is created in the image of God. It's not just one person, nor one particular gender, but together, male and female are created in the image of God. Men are not more in the image of God. Women are not more in the image of God. Together, men and women are in the likeness of God, and there's no hierarchy here. What is also very interesting that how these verses are in sharp contrast to what would have been considered normal in the ancient world. In the ancient world, in a time when Genesis would have been, you know, written down on pieces of papyrus or whatever, people being created in the image of God, that would have been crazy talk, if you know what I mean. In those times, it was the kings and the emperors of great and mighty civilizations, and they would set themselves up as being a son of the gods, or even in the likeness of gods, or one of the gods. You know, these emperors, these kings, they demanded people worship them like gods. And because they were like gods and their subjects were not, they could treat their people however they pleased. Their subjects were just like the animals. Normal everyday people had no intrinsic value. So they were property to be used and abused, and they could be killed anytime you want. And, you know, if you like ancient history, you know, there's a whole bunch of stories you can read there about these kings and emperors who just did whatever they want with people and treated them terribly by really bad rulers. But in the Bible here, it says that no king is, that the king isn't the one who's special, but all people are special because all people are in the likeness, in the image of God. All people have value because they are formed in the image of God. And you can't just go around using people or killing people because every person is special and has worth. People have been given authority by God to rule with righteousness and justice like God. And God demonstrates the outworking of this clearly in Genesis 9. You know, after the flood, God's making a covenant with Noah and telling him, you know, this is how we're going to live. And he talks to Noah about how human life is to be valued and why it is to be valued. So Genesis 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made mankind." So people are created in the image of God and they have value. Human life is special. It is sacred. It is to be protected. And so people who acknowledge the authority of God treat all people as special, sacred, and to be protected. And this whole image of God theme plays out through the rest of the Old Testament as well. You know, if you think about it, it's, you know, we've got human life being special when it comes to the law. Do not murder, do not steal, because all people are valuable. The image of God also plays out repeatedly in the way that God admonishes his people to look after vulnerable people. Again and again in the Old Testament, we hear that God calling his people to look after the orphan, the widow, and the stranger amongst them. They're the people who did not have the means to look after themselves and who were vulnerable. God implored his people to care for them because they too, you know, even the dirty foreigners they didn't like, they too carried the image of God. Fast forward to Jesus, you know, Jesus is teaching his people to love everyone, even your enemies. Jesus showed that the image of God was present in people groups that others did not think is important. You can see this the way he shunned a whole bunch of men and Pereira and said, spent time with children, you know, suffer little children, come to me, do not stop them. You can see this in the way that he ministered to a Samaritan woman at the well, a woman who was shunned by her own people for her sins. And you can see this in the way he prioritized spending people with those who were hated in his day. Jesus was called a friend to tax collectors and sinners. Jesus saw the image of God, the value of each of these people, and he valued them. The image of God has mobilized Christians throughout the centuries to look after the vulnerable. Of course, we have the early church in Acts 6. They're distributing food daily to the widows. Soon after that, in AD 165, a plague hit the Roman Empire. And because, you know, they didn't have a public health care system or anything like that, historians estimate that it killed millions of people. Something that's really interesting is during this time, you know, people who had money and means seem to have fled to the countryside to get away from this terrible plague. But we've got historical data about Christians who deliberately stayed behind in Rome and specifically to care for the sick, because no one else was doing it. They put their own lives at risk because they believed all people are created in the image of God and had value. Later in the year, 390 AD, is another cool story of Fabiola. She's a wealthy woman. She converted to Christianity, and she built the first hospital in Western Europe. And it was such a new idea that no one actually showed up at her hospital because they didn't really understand what the hospital was for, because it was a whole new idea to them. We've got this really cool report from St. Jerome, who wrote about Fabiola after her death, and I'm going to read it out here because it's pretty cool. Jerome says this about Fabiola. She founded an infirmary, a hospital, and gathered into it sufferers from the streets, giving a nurse's care to poor bodies worn with sickness and hunger. Maimed noses, lost eyes, scorched feet, leprous arms, swollen bellies. How often she carried on her own shoulders filthy poor wretches tortured with epilepsy. How often did she wash away the purulent matters from wounds which others could not even endure to look at. She gave food with her own hands, and even when a man was but a breathing corpse, she would moisten his lips with drops of water. Rome was not large enough for her kindness. Isn't that beautiful? And Fabiola did this because the image of God is present in each person. And today Christians are doing lots of things because each person has value and is created in the image of God. Christians defend the rights of the unborn. They volunteer in homeless shelters. They fight against modern day slavery and demand ethically produced clothing. They give money to aid and development organizations in the developing world. They advocate for better treatment for asylum seekers. They visit people in hospital. They even run hospitals. And there's countless other incredible things. You can make a massive list of the different ways that Christians value the image of God in other people and care for others. And there are heaps of ways you do that here in our church. And I'm really looking forward to Coffee Chaplaincy getting up and running again, because that's just been a great expression of that in this place. But there's something that I think is really interesting, and maybe you've experienced this before yourself. When you help someone because they are created in the image of God, they don't always respond like they're created in the image of God. Even more than that, if you have a look out there in the world, everyone out there is created in the image of God. But for some of them, it's really hard to see the image of God in them. And the cause of that is, of course, sin. Sin obscures the image of God in someone and makes it hard to see the image of God in them. It's kind of like a piece of glass. Now, I practiced this without a handheld mic, so this might be interesting. Okay, so, got me? Yep. Okay, so through this glass, you can see the image of Brendan. But when someone draws on the glass, like Joey, you can draw now, it's kind of like you can't see the image of Brendan very good. And in fact, if you draw on it for long enough, the image of Brendan is almost impossible to see through all the mess. And this is what happens when sin enters someone's life. I mean, the image of God is there. They still have value. But because of the sin, it's almost completely obscured. People who are cruel, people who commit atrocities, perpetrators of domestic violence, people who do the most unimaginable things, they are still created in the image of God, but that image has been spoilt by sin. And not only them, but people who, you know, if we are honest with ourselves, it's not just the people who do the terrible things where the image of God is obscured sometimes. It's us also. Thanks, Joey. When we don't measure up, when we do the wrong things, the image of God is spoiled in us as well. And that's where Jesus comes into the story, because he is the one who is the true image of God. Colossians 1, 15 to 20 puts it this way. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the true image of God. There is no sin in him. And when you look at Jesus, you see God. And through Jesus' death on the cross, he takes away that sin that obscures the image of God in us too. Jesus showed us the way to live truly in the image of God, and the way to live like God, as a servant, looking after others, loving enemies. And Jesus allowed sin to take him and kill him so that he might have victory over sin and death and claim that victory for us today. So now we as Christians, we can be free from that sin and can better reflect God's image in the everyday, be more Christ-like, so that others might see the image of God of us better and want to know more about this Jesus. So it's my prayer here for us at Quanah Life that we might not let sin have a hold on any of us, and we might be able to show the image of God clearly to those around us. We do this by becoming more and more Christ-like, so the image of God might be on in full display in our lives, and that we might rule as Jesus rules, as a servant serving others. It's my prayer that we might be given eyes to see the image of God in every person, even the ones where it's so distorted by sin you can hardly see it at all. And may we love other people because they are created in the image of God and loved by God. And may that love compel us to act in significant ways towards them. How is God calling you to rule and serve and exercise the authority he has given you to announce his kingdom? Maybe God is calling you to homeless ministry, or overseas development and mission work, maybe reaching out to your neighbors and caring for them, maybe volunteering somewhere closer to home, working with disadvantaged kids, or maybe being an RI teacher, maybe a street preacher, maybe a coffee chaplain at the hospital. There's endless ways, and we can actually be the people of God and see the image of God in others and announce his kingdom. So may we all get busy about announcing his kingdom today. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the image of God that is in each person. And I want to pray, God, for myself and for everybody here, that we don't let sin get in the way of your image of God being clearly shown to others around us. Maybe, you know, hand our sin over to you and come to you in repentance and ask for your help and actually not sinning anymore, so that we can actually show your image very clearly to those around us, God. And may we be moved with the compassion of Jesus to see that image of God in every other person around us. And may we be sensitive to your spirit in the way you're leading us to see that image and caring for those people, so that hopefully their sin may also be understood and they will repent of that and be forgiven as well, God. So yeah, bless us as we continue to worship here this morning, God, and may we continue to be a place where it looks more and more like Jesus every day, and appreciating this whole image of God concept. So thank you, God. Amen.